Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Combine Audio Interviews with the HMA Marketing Consulting System for Twice the Possibilities. As host of CNN's radio's Careers from the Kitchen Table show, Raven has more than 100 audio interviews sitting on her home computer, but she hasn't really done anything with them yet. So she's interested in repurposing those to make money, but she's also interested in becoming a marketing consultant with the HMA system, provided it's a career she can do from the comfort of her kitchen table. So in this audio consultation, you'll hear us go over how Raven can make the most of audios she already has, how she can easily do all of her consulting from home, and how she can use her love of interviewing as a customized step in her HMA system. You'll also learn ways Raven can use her radio show to get HMA clients and other alternatives to cold calling. You'll learn niches Raven can go after. She's heard manufacturing is hot right now, but she doesn't think that niche is for her. You'll hear why she should never charge for an opportunity analysis and what projects you'll be charging for. You'll learn the fastest way to get to the half-million mark, and other shortcuts to success. You'll learn how everyone has a success story to share, what Raven's is, and how she can use it in her marketing. You'll learn ideas for targeting offline businesses that will take a standard 2x3 printed ad and turn it into an hour-long audio infomercial. Raven loves doing interviews, and she makes good money on them right now, but she's also an ambitious businesswoman who keeps her mind open for new and different ideas. By combining audio information products with the HMA system, she's opened up a lot of interesting possibilities, and in this audio, you'll hear all about them.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know, I love to do like what you do, which is interviewing.
Can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
How many interviews do you have sitting on your computer that you've done and edited?
I know over 100.
100?
Maybe more.
What are they doing for you right now?
I think maybe one of them I've actually used in creating a product. The rest of them, I haven't done anything yet with them. But remember, I don't know if I ever told you this, for my shows, people, I charge them a fee to be interviewed on my show.
What do you charge?
$497, and it comes with a 20-minute interview and two commercials.
Are all your interviews only 20 minutes?
Not for the experts, featured guests, and people like yourself. Then, of course, they don't pay anything, number one. And I go for as long as they are willing to talk, like you. If they say they can only give me 10 minutes, I want the 10 minutes. And then there's been cases like Lisa Nichols. We're going to do an hour, and the connection was so good, she gave me another hour. So I have a two-hour audio with her.
Good, good. You told me you did. What's the guy's name, the talk show host guy?
Montel Williams.
So what big names? You know, if you were going to brag about yourself and you say, I've interviewed this guy, just like I do. So tell me some names.
I've interviewed Montel Williams. I've interviewed Fran Drescher, the nanny.
Yeah.
I've also interviewed Jane Kennedy, Bernadette Stannis, as far as actresses and stuff, and the late Nicole Brown Sisters, sister Denise Brown, spoke on abuse. So those are some of the people on the Women Power. Montel, we did a week where we honored the men of power, and that's how he was on the show. But up until that point, I had never interviewed any guy. So those are some of the, I guess, celebrity women. Lindsay Wagner, remember her from
Yeah.
The Woman.
Oh, wow.
Victoria Rao from The Young and the Restless. I interviewed Ray Charles' daughter, Sheila Ray Charles. Got a dynamite voice. On the business side, I've interviewed Marv Victor Hansen, Les Brown, Jack Canfield, Dr. Joe Vitale, John Ashraf, Wally Amos, J.D. Hill, the grandson of Napoleon Hill. Executive director of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. Allie Brown, David Preston, love his workshop stuff. Martha Johansson's was an hour combined. I think Jack Hansen's was an hour. Most of the other ones were like about 20, 25 minutes because I charged the fee for people to come behind them. And so I split my hour with 25 minutes with them.
But those men interviews were mostly an hour, or more than 20 minutes.
The women interviews are.
What about the men ones, like the ones you mentioned, the men of power?
Jack Canfield, he's an hour. And also Montel Williams is an hour.
What about Asheroff?
They were on the business show. I think John Asheroff was an hour.
Okay, but that business show was a 20-minute format?
Mm-hmm.
Was a radio station running this show?
Yeah, Careers from the Kitchen Table.
Okay, so you had to submit them to the radio.
I interviewed them over the phone, pre-recorded them.
So a lot of those you did for the show. Did you have the rights to all those?
Oh, yeah, the show didn't.
All right, and they're sitting on your computer doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just curious.
Well, you know, I'm pulling out some excerpts of those people that I named, and I'm going to put them in this 2010 home-based business directory that I'm providing.
Those were some of the more notable names, but you have maybe another 60 or 70 on all kinds of stuff. Like what?
Like I have my mentoring from MLM Diva show. That's for women in network marketing, direct sales. So there's about 50 interviews. And then I have on Women Power 100 alone on there, some in archives. And that's just motivation, inspiration, because that show is all about women over 40 going for their dreams and visions.
And was that a 20-minute show?
Most of those interviews are hours.
Are all your interviews all edited?
Yeah, I edit all my stuff.
And so depending on what show you did it for, you've got commercials for that actual show.
Yeah, that's all I got to do is take those out.
And so you did a bunch of Women Power, a lot of real good, memorable interviews you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so look, you're sitting on some great, great stuff.
So it's time to do something with them. Kind of like you, I've given away a lot of stuff for free for years, so now I'm getting into the repurposing. Listening to your audio marketing course has made me want to truly repurpose. When I started listening to that, that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to do that 2010 home business directory. And my thought there is I'm going to pull out excerpts of the different people like yourself and different people that I interviewed, put a few of their pictures on the cover, and then what I did is I opened it up for $5.47 for home-based businesses that wanted to promote their business in the book, and they'll get two pages back in front as well as some other things.
On all the interviews you did, do you have written descriptions for them, kind of like online?
No, I didn't. I don't even have transcripts for most of them. But I have gotten a team of people together back in December that's going to be doing my transcripts. They're going in to transcribe some of those, so they're going to pull out some excerpts from the ones that I'm going to include in the directory. The whole interview, you know, that'll be 22 pages per each one. That'll be way bigger than I want it to be. So I'm just going to pull out the meat of each interview.
I don't know. I'd do the whole transcript.
Do the whole transcript?
Yeah, why not?
That's going to be a big book, Michael.
You know, you could have the descriptions in the book and then have a link to the transcripts online as a PDF so you can connect them from the book to online. You know, if you get the book out and then to capture an email or a name and bring them from the book online. So just do it digitally.
Okay.
I mean, it's an idea. It's going to take just as much work for you to go through or pay someone to go through the whole thing and pull out just the good parts because it's like you're editing the whole thing again. And some people like to listen and read at the same time. Really what you have is the audio, then your transcripts are the transcripts of audio. You know, you've edited. It's already pretty clean, you know.
Right.
That's my opinion.
I think you're right.
It's a time thing.
Yes, once it's transcribed, there's so many different things I can do with that transcription. It would definitely be worth it. So, yeah, thank you. That's the thought. I might as well go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. I wish I had done the show notes and all that stuff. I never did that. My problem being, and one thing that I've learned from listening to your audio, is me trying to do everything. I've been a one-man show for about 3 years, and now, you know, I'm realizing, well, number one, I'm getting very tired, and I don't want it to kill my passion because I'm just getting so overwhelmed and tired because, like you, I absolutely love interviewing. So now I see, okay, I've got to have a team of people. So what I put together is listening to your audio. I went on and went to, I think it's Best, and found about 5 people that's going to start doing some calling on different projects. Some will sell my kitchen table radio home study course. Some will help me get advertisers and sponsors. So, you know, I'm on CNN radio now, and I'm also on another station up north. So I got to get my advertisers and sponsors for that. And then some of them, I'm going to have them marketing the HMA program.
That's smart. There's no way you could do it all. No way.
And I'm paying them commission. So I'm looking for people to do straight commission for me to make more money that way. Pay between $100 to $500, depending on what project they're going after.
All right. And you'll probably go through a few people. But once you find someone who's willing to work and hustle, they'll make it happen, and they'll like the money, and they'll stay with you.
And then I'll offer them a position where they can pretty much lead the sales team and get an override off everybody's sales.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good idea.
And I've got it set up on bonus scale, so like if they get 3 sales in a week, that's an extra $150 and whatever.
All right, so what questions can I answer for you?
My question, first of all, is how can I tie in what I love to do with this H&A system? Is it possible to do that?
Yeah, I mean, now when you say what you like to do.
Which is the audio, the interview, that type of thing.
Well, looking down the road, you love doing audio interviews. What kind of people are you going to be interviewing now? You know, what format is your CNN show? What's the subject here?
Careers from the Kitchen Table is a show that's going on CNN. That's all about starting a home-based business or elevating the business that you already have. I'm known for, like you, getting the best of the best to come on, so they will be my featured guest. Then I will have other people that want to promote their business by, you know, an interview package to come on and sell their business to that audience.
Well, I think the best thing you can do is, you know, when you have a chance to do an intimate interview with them, if you're getting down and dirty and really getting the juicy stuff from them and you're getting into how they're running their business and how they make money and challenges, you're going to get a lot of insight into them and have a chance to build a rapport with them. They could possibly end up being a good client for you, especially if you've been able to spend some time on the phone. Then you can hang up with them and send them the edited interview. They're going to be happy to have their show on CNN Network. You've got an in. You know, you've got a license to almost call them back and say, you know, I really enjoyed that interview we did, and you said something about you were all thumbs when it came to marketing, and I just wanted to ask you, who is in your corner when it comes to marketing your business? And even though these guys have big names or whatever, they're doing really well, they're probably terrible marketers because there's always something that can be done. And what the real good thing is, if you're interviewing someone big name, you're looking for the assets, okay? What's the biggest asset? Biggest asset in any business is the list. And in an interview, you can find that out. So are you building a list? How do you keep in touch with your customers currently? You can even ask them, how many names do you have on your list? 9 out of 10 times, they're going to say, oh, we mail to them once in a while, or we don't keep in touch with them. When you find someone like that with a big list, they're not keeping in touch with them, they're not upselling, they're not offering any products or services, they're sitting on a gold mine. And if you've had a chance to interview them and you can approach them with the HMA system and sell project work, but maybe on something like that, you could almost just consult for free if you get a chance to do some kind of JV with them where you've got an idea. You know, you just give them some marketing ideas. Do a JV, or you could sell the project work. Your interviews give you an in into potential consulting work. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Now, for the people that are not big or people that's not even on my show, what I've been trying to figure out, okay, if I go forward with this HMA system of yours, which, by the way, I think is just dynamic, and all that you give us for free is just amazing. So I'm like, what else to be in the system? He's giving everything free. Is there any more in here? And you said lots of it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering, okay, now, what market would I go after? What niche would I go after that would kind of fit into where I'm feeling comfortable? I mean, I can't see myself going after manufacturers. I heard Richard talk about manufacturers and stuff. That doesn't seem like that's my forte.
It's not like you're going to be starting cold, okay? Mm-hmm. You can look back at what are Raven Blair's hidden marketing assets. Who do you know? What relationships have you built? What contacts do you have? And for getting clients, I think the most powerful and simplest thing that would make more sense than anything is, instead of going after cold prospects, is to get someone to maybe endorse you to their center of influence. You know, after you go through the HMA training and you're feeling a little confident and you're ready to work with a client, test out a client, go to someone you know and see if they'll refer you or endorse you to someone that they know for, you know, it can be a simple free opportunity analysis and evaluation of their business. You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
That sounds good. So basically, maybe do a couple free and get in the door.
You don't ever charge for an opportunity analysis. You really should always do it free, because that's like an interview. That gives you the chance to see what kind of assets they're sitting on. There's this great new show, and I think it ended already. I forgot what channel it was on. It's called Accidental Fortunes. And it was about people like, you know, the lady who goes to a garage sale and she finds this beautiful painting that just in her gut told her to buy it. She didn't make a ton of money, but it was a stolen painting, and she called this this art museum, and they didn't believe her, and they came out and looked at it, and it was like worth, you know, $40 million. And then there was a guy who wanted a new career, and he bought all this land, and he was going to dig a golf course. And so he had the guy on the tractor digging a hole for a little lake, you know, in the golf course. And then he goes, hey, boss, come over. I think I hit something. And what they hit on was this prehistoric, like a woolly mammoth, a skeleton. And it ended up being one of the most preserved skeletons. It wasn't a woolly mammoth. I forgot what it was called, but it was the huge, very preserved prehistoric animal. And they dug it up. He called an archaeological friend, dug it up, and then he had museums from all over the world bidding for it, and he sold it for $600,000. So it's like when you go into a business, you can find intangible marketing asset that can be worth more than that, an accidental fortune, and you're not going to find it unless you listen to these businesses. I mean, I'm asking you, okay, how many interviews are sitting on your computer? You got 100 interviews that are doing nothing for you. They're sitting on your computer. You have some big names there that can go a long way to establish your expertise as an interviewer, and, you know, I look at interviews as assets. Those are assets. Those interviews can be packaged. You get the transcripts to them. You get them up online. You can package them. You can sell them. You can say, I've interviewed Mark Victor Hansen, this guy, this guy, this guy. That establishes your expertise. I mean, all of that, you know, that's a hidden asset that you're sitting on. You know what I'm saying? That's how I'm looking at it.
Okay, absolutely. You're right. It's time for me to definitely repurpose.
But on the consulting thing, when you just have a chance to talk to business, and some of the big names, if you get some time with them and offer them some solutions, or don't promise anything, you may be able to help them, you may not. But you'll spend some time and see what they're doing, and they may be sitting on some gold mines, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for that list, that underutilized marketing, underutilized communication. Their products may be great, and they may have a great reputation, which is wonderful. You got to have that. But most people just aren't marketing enough. They're not keeping in touch with their customers enough. They're afraid to sell stuff. And I've been playing around with this. I mean, you see my offers come out. I'm always hustling something, you know. I'm giving away something free. You know, I'll make a crazy $20 offer. I'm playing around with all kinds of stuff. You've seen 5 emails come in one day. I'm testing all the time.
I know. I'm watching what you're doing. I think that one time you sent 2 back-to-back where you gave away for $20.
Yeah, but see, I'm learning more and more the power. I mean, I only have 15,000 names on my list. It may seem like a lot to you, but there's people sitting on 50, 60, 100,000, 200,000. Now, I know for a fact most people are afraid to email too much. I mean, you can email too much if you really go overboard, as long as you don't do it all the time, but you can push the envelope a little bit more than you think. And every time you email, that generates sales, because those 15,000 people, they're all over the world. Some are sleeping, some are in school, some are working. You're hitting them at different times in their life. All 15,000 don't open up the email. Only 500 will every time I email. But if I email 3 hours later, I may get another 500. And then 3 hours later, I may get another 500. So just understanding that. So if you find someone who's sitting on a list of 100,000 customers, and my list isn't all buying customers, but what if you found a guy who's got a list of 50,000 buyers of a software product related to whatever? You could come up with an additional product to market to that list. You need to be looking for that gold, and that gold is enough. Number of names. And if you can gain their trust and make them money, you make them money one time on an asset that they've been sitting on. Once you make them some money one time, and it's free money to them, and if you can negotiate a piece of the action, you could do it that way. If you see something where there's a real good possibility on making money, and they're willing to give you access to the list or listen to you as the consulting and marketing expert, you make them money one time, then you can just keep doing it over and over again. You just work their assets, their list. You know, they could have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars building. That's what all business is designed to build a list, a name.
Right. Listening to you mention that, it made me think about when I really started selling my radio how-to course. First, I was doing it by myself. Then I decided, okay, I'm going to contact organizations and offer them an affiliacy, give their list a discount off the course, plus offer them an affiliacy. And that way, they're putting me in front of many people instead of me calling them one by one, cold calling stuff. Boy, that turned around so quick. I remember my first one, I think, within 24 hours, we had made $3,400.
Same thing with the HMA. You know, I do talk about in some of the pre-recording, you know, cold calling is absolute last resort. Hardest, most difficult. There's some people who can do it and love doing it. Most people don't, but you got to go with your hidden marketing assets. Your first client is going to be you. and your contacts, your relationships, people you know who love business but are struggling with some things, you know, and you get them in, and then the HMA system gives you lots of products to sell. You could sell the whole system at once, meaning you'll do their USP, you'll integrate their USP through their marketing, joint ventures.
Yeah, that's what interests me about the system. It gives me a chance to actually make a lot more money. So that's what I'm looking to do. You know, I'm looking to go from just doing this thing at home, you know, making a little bit of money. I'm doing good compared to most talk show hosts, podcasters that aren't making any money. But I'm ready to get to that, you know, $500,000 mark. And I know in order to do that, I've got to have higher ticket items.
Yeah, the fastest way you're going to do that, it's not going to be doing that one-on-one consulting for projects at $2,500 a piece. It's going to be getting a client with a big mailing list and gaining their trust and then moving into an alliance opportunity where you can forgo the fees and get the chance to market to their list. I believe, because the consulting is time-consuming. You got to meet people face-to-face sometimes. You know, you're scheduling. You may have to end up training their salespeople. It depends who you're going after. And you want to set up your consulting practice. If you don't want to do that stuff, you need to set that criteria. So if Raven Blair wants to just do her consulting only by phone and that's how you operate, then set the criteria. You only consult by phone in long distance and through the internet. You know, there's no reason we can't do that. And businesses will accept that and I think respect it. And it makes sense today.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. You know me, Michael. I'm the kitchen table gal.
Yeah.
I like doing all my businesses with my phone.
With the power of your voice.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that's the criteria you set. There's no rules. You make your own rules. You have projects, and your projects are your products that you can sell. And one good thing that a lot of consulting gigs don't realize, you know, everyone else is saying, get a consulting client, charge a retainer, you know, a monthly retainer. But all you do when you do that is you buy yourself like a job. But with the projects, because we have all the outlines of what you do, what constitutes a project, and the projects don't take long to do once you get a little bit familiar with them and you go through the whole system. The expectations are clear and in writing of what you deliver for a project. So if it's developing a USP, this is what you're going to do for the client and nothing else. These other people who take maybe a $2,500 retainer or $5,000 retainer, there's no boundary. So they've got this retainer and the person who paid the retainer is expecting you to be their like employee for the whole month. And you don't want to do that. So you want clear expectations of what you're going to deliver in writing, and they need to understand what they're going to be getting for their money. And I've got some great recordings that hit home on this with a consultant who fell into that trap. You know, I've got training in the back end part of the HMA University that teaches you this. It'll give you the confidence, give you the mindset. So it's all going to be a learning experience.
And that's why I want to talk to you, because I'm one of these people that when I jump on something, it's kind of like I jump full force. And I should say more often than not, I want results like quick. And I know that comes with a lot of hard work, but I'm also the type of person that will educate myself and spend whatever time in the middle of the night, wee wee hours of the morning, it doesn't matter to me, because I want to get there faster rather than slower. That's my key on this. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, so I can get a clear vision on, okay, is this something, number one, that's for me, or do I just need to concentrate on doing my audio marketing and info products and stuff that I've been doing, but just take it another level and start repurposing things.
Well, you could do a little bit of both. You could use your interviewing skills, get them to agree to an interview, maybe a big name, a career from the kitchen table. It doesn't have to be women. It can be men or women.
Right.
Okay, so anyone who has some kind of money-making thing, you can approach someone with a big list, a big internet marketer. No one's going to turn their nose up on CNN radio, you know?
That's another thing I want to leverage from that.
Now, you've got all these interviews here, and you can create a product that may fit the same type of buying customer of the person you interview. And not only can you do the interview with them, you can approach them and say, hey, you know, I've got these 25 audio interviews that I've done over the years with names like this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, that I've been selling for $49 or whatever, $149, $20, what have you. And after interviewing you, you've got a list that's interested in this type of thing. Why don't we do a JV? And then they can endorse your product to the list. So you're using your existing assets, your audio interviews, once you get them all edited, once you get the transcripts and all that, to do deals with, to sell.
More deals like that. I've done a couple joint ventures. I have a product, I think I told you about it, called How to Turn Your Telephone to Cash Cow.
Yeah.
Where I interviewed Alex Mendozian and some other greats that did a lot of their business over the phone. I didn't know you at that time. Well, you betcha, as Sarah Palin saying, I would have been coming after you. But that's a good product. So I was able to get those interviews, and then we put together a workbook to go along with it. And that product does well. So I like the idea of what you're saying. Just take some of these interviews and repurpose them and start creating information products and marketing them through some of the people I interviewed list. But some people, to be honest and frank, you know, they say, okay, I'm going to give you the interview. I can name a couple on that product. They were very frank from the beginning. Before you interview, I will give you the interview because you're persistent and I like you, but I will not market it to my list.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I've had people say that. I find more often people love to come on my show, and I'm sure they're going to love to come on CNN, but getting them to actually market you, even telling their list they're going to be on there, is a whole different ballgame.
That's true.
That's why I found when I went to the women organizations or the business organizations, Michael, their list may not be in the hundreds of thousands of some of the big people we've interviewed, but they have a bigger list than I have, and they know their list. They know how responsive it is, and they're looking all the time to bring good products to their list, and if you give their list a discount and them an affiliate fee, it's a win-win for both.
That's a JV.
Yeah, so that works well. So I think I might, just talking to you, reminding me of that, keep on that road. So let me just kind of recap. So you're basically saying do not charge for the opportunity analysis. Do that for free. What would be the next thing that I would take them through that I would charge for?
Well, the opportunity analysis, and you'll be trained on this. That's your sales pitch. That's you looking for the gold, okay? You're looking for the hidden treasures in their business, the assets, and you're looking at them for yourself, because this HMA system is really designed for an established business. It's not really designed for the guy who's got no customers.
Right, because they've got to have the money to pay for that.
Yeah, because then you're going to have a job building the guy's business. Well, you're trying to build your own business. Well, you want to use the hidden assets that they have already to make your job easier, which they don't know how to do anything with. So your HMA is your presentation. That's your sales pitch, is to see, are they right for you? Are you right for them? Are they sitting on some assets? If they are, that presentation is going to point them out. You're going to show them how they can utilize those more effectively to get exponential growth. And then, you know, you basically say, hey, you can do this yourself, you know, and you probably know you should be doing it. You probably know you haven't done it because you just don't have time. Or you can bring in an employee to handle all your marketing internally. Or you can hire someone like me to do all this stuff for you. And that's what I do. I do all the execution of these marketing steps.
That's the part that you said that's going to have you there like a job.
No, this is really kind of like the thing that makes it attractive to a business owner. They're never going to execute the things they need to do in their marketing. But you're the person who's going to do the execution of these marketing steps, or the steps of the system that you're going to be trained in, how to develop a USP for the client. That's what they're paying you $2,500 for. You're going to come up with their USP for them.
Oh, okay. That's what you said.
These are your projects. These are your products that you're selling. You're going to sell them the step two project, which is taking that USP and integrating it in their business. You know, the way they answer the phone, on their website, on their letterhead, on their stationery. Now, you're always going to be working with someone in the company. You don't have to do all this yourself, because how can you get to their letterhead and their stationery? You know what I mean?
Right.
And then setting up a joint venture alliance for them. Are they building a database? Do they collect the names and contact information of anyone who calls them, who comes to the website? It's going to be your job to execute that for them for $2,500 or $3,500 or $4,500.
And so each step has a different price level?
It doesn't have to have a different price. That's totally up to you. And you'll be able to decide after taking them through the opportunity analysis, after learning more about their business. No rules and pricing. You've got to know that it's time or money. And it'll take you a couple clients to see how much time it takes you to do something. But, you know, you divide the hours with what you're getting, and you're going to be knowing what you're getting per hour.
Now, I know by you being an interviewer, and I know you've done a few of these yourself, so I'm just curious, do you tie in to their marketing plans that you do interviews for them and informational products for them?
You could absolutely sell your interview service and your interview expertise. You can make that one of your steps.
Okay, so I can replace that with what?
There are no set rules, okay? The HMA system gives you a lot of different things to sell, and because it's your practice, you got to make it work for you. But that's right. One of the steps of the $2,500 can be very attractive, an edited interview that they're going to put up on their website. That can be one of your steps.
I like that. That feels more authentic to me.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know how powerful an interview is, and it all plays into marketing.
I can also, I guess, if I wanted to, since I teach podcasters, I could also help them set up a podcast for marketing your business.
You can write down all the little services and stuff that you do and make a step for that.
Oh, okay. That would be interesting to me. I like that because that's stuff I'm already doing, so it wouldn't feel native to me. You know what I'm saying? It would feel comfortable.
You know, the whole HMA, it's going to take you a little time to get comfortable with it. There's just no way around it. You're going to gain the confidence as you keep listening. Just like, you know, you listen to all the stuff on the Audio Marketing Secrets. Do you feel like you have a better handle on it now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You painted a clear picture. You gave me ideas that really got my creative juices really working.
Now, have you built an email list on your shows at all?
On Women Power, because Women Power was an internet show. But when I got into doing the terrestrial, the AM and FM shows, I dropped the ball on that big time. Now I'm going from not having to pay for a show to getting advertisers and sponsors. And again, I'm doing this myself, so I got into that and dropped the ball. And one thing that I do, and I've got lots of compliments on doing this, I really boost and make my guests feel like, wow. And I forget to promote me. So what I liked and what I've learned from you, I hope you don't mind that I'm going to mimic in 2010, is going back in there and inserting, you know, those commercials like you do about different products and stuff in my interviews. I like when you jump in out of nowhere and you say you're listening to.
No, you need to do that. Do it.
So I said, I'm going to start doing that. So from now on, if I said, oh, my goodness, I got so engrossed interviewing Les Brown, I forgot to do this, just go back in there and put it in.
Yeah, put it in. That's right.
Go back through all of them that I didn't, you know, because it's not all of them, but it's been some that I've just been so glad to have had the guests. Like Montel, I could have did more advertising on me, but I did go back and insert my kitchen table radio course. I said, fine, because that commercial, because it starts off saying you want to interview celebrities and all that stuff, and that was perfect to insert that one into my celebrity interviews for people's attention. I've actually gotten a couple sales from that for my course.
All right, here's a tip for you, too. You know, after you get your commercials in each one of these, you need the MP3 download on these.
I have them because I do my audio recording through Audio Acrobat.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. But you should have them up on this page because people aren't going to sit online and listen to these. They'll listen to what they sound like, but they want to download it and take it with them on the road.
Right. I used to have the MP3 on there, and then I took them off, and now when people go to WPRTalk.podomatic, they can download them on my podcast. But I took them off because I was going to package them, like you said, like the Best of Women Power Volume 1 and stuff, and I didn't want them to have the download access.
No, I understand.
You're talking about it's probably more feasible for me to do.
So here's your archives. I'm going to check some of these things out.
Yeah, Women Power has been a great show. That was the baby. That's the one I told you that was created at the ICU unit of Methodist Hospital. So I knew it was a reason for me to start doing shows from a hospital ICU unit.
Were you sick?
No, my mom.
Oh, your mom.
Yeah, she was in the ICU unit for 3 weeks. And at that time, I was taking Alec Mendosian's Teleseminar Secrets course. And one person got on there, Michael, and they said, instead of doing teleseminars, I decided to interview the experts since I wasn't an expert. And I decided to call mine a radio show. And I always had the passion when I was a kid to be a disc jockey. So that kind of sparked that back up. And so I was like, what kind of show am I going to give? And at that time, I was kind of stuck, not happy, you know, not living my dreams. You know, I feel like God put on my heart to go after women like me that were stuck, that were settling, that wasn't living their dream, and interview people that was at one time in that situation, but now they're living their dream, and so that's what Women Power is about. So that's what started that rolling, and it's so funny because at that time, that's the only reason I was doing it, and then here we are, you know, that was 2006 of February, and now I'm on different radio stations, have different shows, and, you know, got different products, so one little idea just blossomed into that.
See, that's your story. Do you tell that story anywhere on your site?
No.
Copy mine. You know how I'm being high. I'm Michael Sinoff, founder of HardToFindSeminars.com. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and I needed a way to make income from home. Listen to the beginnings of mine. You've heard it over and over again, but that's my little story and my mission and purpose. They get it, you know. So Raven's story is, and I may not have all the details, her mom was sick. You were at a low point in your life. Your mom was in the ICU for 3 weeks. You were taken care of, and you just told me your story in a nutshell, you know. You got to compact that into a little 60-second thing at the beginning of every single one of your interviews, even though you have it on every one of them, so people get it, you know. This is the lady whose mom was sick, and she was in the hospital, and she started this Empowering Women show.
Right. Oh, I like that, Michael.
Have you seen that Coldies product that was, like, so popular a couple of years ago? Like, if you get a cold, there are these, like, little wafers of vitamin C and stuff. I mean, they just sold millions of dollars. And then the story was two teachers were tired of getting sick at school, and so they developed a better way to take vitamin C. You know, it's just a simple story that people can remember.
Wow, I like that. You're giving me some great ideas.
Just copy what I'm doing. If you listen to one of my interviews, you'll hear that beginning. You've heard the commercials. You've heard the call to action. There's the commercials to get them back to my site, but there may be a call to action to buy a certain product. So, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff you can do.
I was wondering if I should, because I have one podcast radio.com, and I also have careers from the kitchen table.com, so we've got two different shows. Do you recommend I do a little brief intro similar to that for both of those, or put everything on one site like you have yours?
I'd probably just combine them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm toying around with the idea of Raven International Broadcasting Network, where I'm thinking about not just having my shows, but having other people's shows air on the network as well. And then also have an academy attached to it where I teach them how to get expert interviews and go from podcasting to terrestrial radio, how you can negotiate your price and, you know, just how to go from being a good talk show host to a great talk show host, things like that, and cater to people that want to do that.
Good. Do you get unsolicited testimonials from your listeners?
I do. All the testimonials I have on there are from guests.
Do you save them? You got them all on your computer?
I don't have them all because I've crashed a couple of computers, and so I lost them. But every now and then I get people like you do that say, oh, I've been up all night long listening to these audios. When I started listening to you, Michael, during the holiday, I was trying to go back through my emails to find them, and I hate that I never kept them. My focus was trying to get as many guests to give me testimonials because I was trying to build myself up as a talk show host expert so I could train other people. And so I kind of dropped the ball in that area. But if I go through my 4,900 emails that are sitting there, I'm sure I can find a handful of them.
I don't know the women market. You do. My main market isn't women. It's men like my age.
Well, the Women Power Talk Radio, I get testimonials on there from all over the world. And I hate that I didn't keep up with them. And they say the same things that I hear people say on the recordings I've listened to yours. How they can't go to sleep. They listen to one interview. One lady wrote me and she says, I've been up since that afternoon listening to one audio after audio. I've had people that have been abused say that they love certain interviews that they heard and how it helped them. I remember this one lady. I wish I kept this, Michael. This was my very first year. In 2006, she wrote me. She said, I'm an abused woman and I sneak and listen to your show every day. And my husband knew that I was listening, but hurt me. And I always think about her. Hers come to mind because I never heard from her since then, and she's always on my mind. But yeah, I've had plenty of people to write me and say that I just dropped the ball on keeping theirs because then my focus changed and I started wanting to teach what I was learning. Then I started just asking my guests right afterwards, hey, you know, if they gave me a compliment, Michael, I was like, are you willing to put it in writing?
There you go.
Michael, are you going to be on my CNN show?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, good.
How many people does that go out to?
You know what? CNN Radio is locally in Houston.
Is it just a local deal?
It's local in Houston, but like anybody else, they stream worldwide. And I found out in the meeting the other day that people are able to go to AOL and Yahoo, and there's a CNN Radio button, so we get some of their listeners, too.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. The main thing I found out from that they're very responsive. Their listeners are very responsive because CNN Radio is all about business and news, so it's a niche.
What do you want to do it on?
I think audio marketing.
Okay.
But you did that the last time, didn't you?
Can't you just take that show and edit out the careers part and just use it for that? Because that was a good interview we did.
That was a good interview, but they want me to be live.
Oh, so I'd have to be live.
Yeah, they want me to come to the studio. And I want to, actually, because the energy there. And I think they like pre-recorded. They listen to a couple of my shows. They love pre-recorded shows, but the energy is there when it's live.
But I'd be on the phone.
Yeah, you'll be on the phone, but still we're live.
What time, Pacific Standard Time, is it?
It's going to be, you're not going to like this, Michael. It's on Saturday.
What time?
2 to 3 Central, so that's 1 year time on a Saturday. And I think you and I have maybe discussed March, right?
Yeah, we could do it. Yeah, just set it up for March. That's fine.
Okay, so we'll set it up for there. I mean, they're going to love you. We'll even take some callers. How about that?
That'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll give you the whole hour. What the heck?
Okay, that'll be great. I'll be glad to do it.
Well, thank you, Michael. My last question, I promise, and that is, I want to go back really quickly to the audio marketing thing. I think my insights tells me I should go with that, so I need a couple of your insider secrets here. And I want to target the offline people and sell them on the idea. And I'm not talking about doing an interview on my show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about selling them an interview package where they get an interview, like you said, an edited interview, and maybe, I guess I could throw in a transcript of it. Talk to them about not only having the interview, but also creating an information product to sell for the company. How can I go about that?
All right, I've always had this idea, and it just kind of reminded me of it. If you're selling to an offline, maybe a good thing to do is go after businesses that are already advertising. So go around the area and get the newspapers where there's advertising of small businesses, like in the backs of the Jewish Community magazine or the Kids and Family magazines that is just chock full of advertising. So wherever you see an ad of a small business where there's someone you can contact by phone and reach them, you could approach them and sell them the idea of an interview package. If you make it like, how would you like a talking advertisement? So what they can do if they plan on advertising again in that publication, they're paying $100 a month or $200 a month, they can redo the ad. You'll show them how to redo the ad, and you'll do a detailed 30-minute, 20-minute, whatever, segment. You're a professional interviewer and radio show host. You'll do the whole interview. You'll edit it, and then you'll upload it to a service. You've heard of freeconferencecall.com?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a service called Free Voice Box where you can take that MP3 and you can upload it and you can get a free phone number. So you can tell them that the next time they run their ad, they can put the phone number of a full-on interview to learn more about the product or service. So you're charging them for the interview, but you're showing them how they can use their existing advertising, put a phone number in there where a potential client or someone who sees the ad can hear all about the business on their own time, an hour's worth or 30 minutes worth, and you would provide the service where you'll upload it and you'll give them the phone number so when they run the ad again, they'll have that phone number. It expands their ad from a 2x3-inch ad to a 1-hour audio interview about their products and services. You can show them like 10 ways to use the interview once you do it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And then that's how we get into the info products and all that stuff.
I'm not even at the info product part.
Okay.
I'm just saying if you want to sell an interview to an offline guy, go to someone who's already spent the money on advertising. Just say, how would you like to double the response to your advertising? And I'm Raven Blair. I'm a professional talk show host and interviewer. I do a show on CNN Radio. Use that CNN. That's credibility right there. And what I do is I work with businesses. I do a detailed interview on your business. We discuss what makes you special, why you're special, what you offer, how much. We'll record a digital audio interview about what makes you great, and we will show you how to broadcast that and get that out to all your prospects, saving you time. We'll show you how to put it on a CD and do a mailing. We'll show you how to get it up on your website. We'll show you how to put it in your existing advertising. We'll give you the ability to sell your prospects on you through a digital audio interview, just like I've been trying to sell, you know? Have your telemarketers call on people who are doing existing advertising.
Yes, and then they're basically calling on my behalf.
Yeah. I mean, if you charge $500 for an interview, that's pretty damn good. And you show them 10 different ways they can use it. I'll send you the link of my pitch, my package on my interview service, and you can modify it, and you can look at all the different ways that I promote it as well. I just think my pricing's too high, but I'm not willing to go any lower. That $499, $497 may be the magic price, and, you know, you could make a nice living just doing nothing but interviews at that price.
And I love doing them.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. That'll be fun. Then I can upsell them on the HMA.
Yeah, because if you're calling on people who are advertising, absolutely, it gives you an in.
Yeah, I like that HMA. I really do like that. I can see using that in a lot of different ways of stuff in there. And so I guess the next thing I need to do is walk over here to my Complex Facts Business Center and get that agreement and everything.
Get it to me. I'll get you all set up today.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Michael. You are the bomb.
Raven, you're my biggest fan.
Well, I love you, boy. It was great spending the Christmas and Thanksgiving holidays with you virtually by listening to you on the audios, and you're just so, so awesome. And, you know, I want to give back to you in any way. So if there's anything that I can do for you, because you're always so giving, any special product, anything that you ever need announced.
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. That's the end of my consult with Raven. I hope it's been helpful. If you have any questions, please contact me at michael@michaelsenoff.com.